chapter 3. Today we will go to the last section of our meditation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 through verse 15. Right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to verse 15. Let's read all these verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to verse 15 together. Right, ready? For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Amen. God bless the reading of His most holy and sacred word. I'd just like to make a quick note also on yesterday's mission update. Going back, as I reflected through, I realized that sometimes we share a lot about the struggles on the mission field. And like I mentioned to some of you before, it's very easy to share about the struggles. I hope it doesn't come across as a complaint. Life is not always very difficult, full of struggles over there. There are many things that we thank God for also, and perhaps on our part, we failed to give thanks to the Lord for many things. Of course, I can't mention many things right now, but many things that we give thanks for, they are sometimes quite ordinary. We just thank God for His help every day. We thank God for many good students. There are some bad, but many good, so on and so forth. And so there are many such things to give thanks of. So perhaps yesterday I failed to mention some of these things. But I hope you also realize, all right, life is not very hard. Every day we're struggling. Every day we're crying to the Lord. And, wow, it's very terrible. Not really, actually. Right? We also enjoy many things there. We are very happy. Every day we learn many different lessons from the Lord also, as we prepare God's Word to teach, and even as we experience some difficult things in life, we're happy, right, to go through all those things and learn. Right, so I hope that you all don't get the wrong idea that, oh, every day there is very terrible, and oh, we are going through some great, trial and tribulation over there. Right, the Lord is very good to us also. Right, let's focus on today's message on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to verse 15. All right, and this last section that we look at is entitled The Heavenly Test. All right, The Heavenly Test. We have looked at verse 1 to verse 4. Paul outrightly addressed some of the issues of the church. Right, there were strifes, divisions, and the root problem of it all was spiritual immaturity. While the church has grown, the church has many gifts. Right, the church was functioning, but the problem is people were not very mature. So Paul had to teach them some very basic things. Right, so he will use two illustrations. Yesterday we went through the first one. Right, the farmer and the field, very simple illustration to remind the church members that every man has to labor for the Lord. So we look at our human endeavors, but as much as we labor for the Lord, as we serve Him, we must always remember God is the one that gives the increase. Right, so that was our reminder yesterday from that illustration. So Paul will carry on to the second illustration that we'll be looking at today. That's why we start from verse 9 or so. Right, because verse 9 is where we make the transition. Right, so verse 9 reads, "For we are laborers together with God." Remember yesterday we ended with this, "Ye are God's husbandry." Right, this whole entire work of the Lord, every single true Bible-believing church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's harvest field that we are found in. It is God's husbandry. It is God's field. We are just laborers called to labor in the field that belongs to the Lord. So in the second part of verse 9, God will also continue to show to us the same fact. And he mentions very directly to us, ye are God's building. Right, so our illustration today is on the builder and the building. Right, this is the key illustration today. So take note, same reminder, this illustration of this building, that is the ministry of God, that is the harvest field, that is the church, it again belongs to God. But now when we come down further to verse 10, right, in verse 9 to verse 10, we look at this point on the faithful builder, right, the faithful builder. So according to the grace of God which is given unto me, take note, Paul mentions here, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, Paul mentions this very important phrase down here, according to the grace of God. This is a phrase that we are very used to as Christians. Right? Very often we say, oh, by the grace of God, if we can, we'll do this. Right? And how do you get through all these things? Oh, just by the grace of God, you know. Right? We pray for God's grace every day. Right? Now, this is a good thing. Right? This is a very good thing that every day we must remind ourselves, really, by God's grace, every day. Right? Every moment, every day. But let us also be very careful. Sometimes we tend to use it as a catchphrase, right? Everything, oh, by God's grace, by God's grace. And then we use it so often to the point where we can easily take it for granted, that we forget, really, what does it mean to go by God's grace. Right? Sometimes we just throw out this phrase as it is, and you know, we just go about it. And sometimes we even are very prideful. But then, you know, we just use this phrase, by God's grace, to qualify and say, oh, you see, all glory to God. But actually, I am so proud of what I have done. There can be a danger also when we are so used to all these phrases. But let us remind ourselves, when Paul says, according to the grace of God, he was emphasizing very strongly to the church, as much as Paul was given the privilege to be there, to be the so-called founder of the Corinthian church. Right, yesterday, we briefly turned to Acts chapter 18 to look at it. Now, that was a tremendous and wonderful privilege, right, for Paul to start the ministry over there. But Paul reminded himself and also reminded the church, this is according to the grace of God. Where did salvation come from? Not from Paul. While, yes, Paul preached the gospel, he brought the gospel, but still, God gave the increase. So that's why it was very important for Paul to emphasize that this is according to the grace of God. Same for every church. Same for every ministry. Everything is by the grace of God. That's it. Why are we here today? How can we have this church camp? Right? Of course, the organizers, they spend time to labor, to organize all those things. But at the end of the day, we are very sure, right, that they have prayed. We all prayed together as a church, and by the grace of God, we are here. Every time we have a church anniversary, we think back, wow, another year has passed. How did we survive? God has provided, God has allowed us to go on, and by the grace of God. Right, so this must be our constant reminder in the ministry and as a church of God. Everything is really according to the grace of God. Now, lest we take credit by ourselves, lest we glory in ourselves, or lest we fall into the sin of pride. Now, that's why carefully Paul would mention this. Right, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, it was given by God. Right, Paul cannot earn some grace by himself, but it was just given very mercifully, graciously from God himself, that he has been allowed to be a wise master builder. Again, Paul was not glorifying himself. Now, this term, wise master builder, this word master builder is where we get the word architect from. Right, so literally in the Greek, it is architekton. Now, arch means ruler or chief. Right, so that's the chief. Arch, right, architect. So tekton is where you get the word for craftsman, right, someone who is able to craft the wood, craft the stones, right, craft all the different parts of the building. So he's a craftsman. So the architect is the master craftsman, right, he's like the site foreman, where he will direct all the different craftsmen. He will direct the carpenters who will work on wood, he will direct the masons who will work on stone, he will help in the design of the building, make sure all the parts can fit together. Right, make sure nobody is like scrimping on the work and, you know, using the wrong materials. Right, so this is what the architect does. Right, so when Paul says that, in a sense, by the grace of God, he was allowed to be a wise master builder. Now, he is not taking credit for himself. Right, he's not taking credit for himself. Now, he's just trying to say this, that in the beginning, it's like an architect who starts the work, where the architect designs, and then the work will begin. Right? And for the Corinthian church, now this will be a very familiar thing that they will see. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ, he will use many, many simple daily illustrations for the people. That's why his parables are always about simple things. Right? His parables will use simple things like the sower. Right? He will use the things like talents, those who are working in the field. He will use simple illustrations. So Paul here is also using a very familiar illustration for the Corinthians. Right, in the city of Corinth, it was a major city, and it was well known for its buildings or so. Those who study design, I think you'll learn about something called the Corinthian Column. Right, this is something that is very beautiful. You will see it even until today. Right, I believe in some places when they design, they will still use this Corinthian Column. Supposed to be a pillar that is very slender, very beautifully carved. And on top of the pillar, you have very beautiful designs, right? Leaves, acorns, and things like that. So even until today, in some buildings, they will use this Corinthian column, right, as part of their design. So Corinth was very well known for all those things. So Paul wanted to remind them that everywhere that they go, they would remember this illustration, right, about the building that belongs to God. So anyway, as Paul reminds them that while he was able to start the work, now he mentions here another builder thereon. I believe here he was referring to Apollos. Right? After Paul founded the church, Apollos came along. Apollos also helped to carry on the work. Right? Paul was just only there for 1.5 years, as we have looked at yesterday. But take note of this. He stresses on this. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. This was a very, very direct message to every church member. You know, if you read carefully through this passage, I hope you observe this phrase occurring. You know, yesterday in verse 8, you realize that we went through this phrase? You see that in verse 8? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Every church member is part of God's work. Everyone serves in a harvest field together. We all have a work to do. Right? And then you come down to this verse. Again, but let every man take heed. Slightly different point. You and I, we must also be individually responsible and accountable for the things that we do. Right? We thank God that we have a pastor. We thank God that we have some in a full-time ministry. We thank God for the session, for the Elder John, for the deacons. Right? We thank God also for our ministry leaders. But while we have all these people who have been gifted by the Lord, called to the ministry, right, to serve in different areas, we must also not take it for granted. We must also watch over ourselves. Right? Because we know our own heart. We know our own motives. Right? And we have to check on ourselves in this way. Right? You cannot go to pastor, hey pastor, you know, can you please look into my heart and go and check my motives? I don't know how I am. Right? I mean, pastor can advise, he can pray, he can do many things, but there are some things within us or so that we must check upon ourselves. Right? So let every man take heed. Be very, very careful about how we build thereupon. So Paul, right, by the grace of God, he did his best. He preached the gospel. He brought up the people in the word of God as best as he can. Then later along, God called Apollos, and Apollos would be doing his best also. But he was reminding every church member, you also watch yourself, how you are building thereupon. The church is not built upon the founder. The church is not built upon those that carry on, including Apollos. Right, so all those things, every single person in the church must be very, very careful. We might have different callings, different responsibilities in the church, different ministries, different gifts. But all of us, right, we have to take heed and be very careful how we carry on in God's building. And we're all doing different parts and areas of ministries of the church. Right? And many a times, I believe, we just do things as it is. Right? We know what we are doing. We know how we do it. We cannot always have somebody standing over us to see how we do things. Right? So we know how we do it. We know what kind of attitude we have. We know what kind of motive we have. And even if we put up a show sometimes, right, inside, are we very sure that we are doing it for the right reason? So all these things, we must be very careful if we want to be a faithful builder in God's building. Right, the architect, he can stand down there, the site foreman, right? He can watch over all these workers who are doing the building, but he cannot look at every single one. Right, at the site, someone building, putting the bricks might just put something of poor quality. You will not know. Right, it's like, you know, for example, you do renovations, right? You got to have a very, very trustworthy contractor. Otherwise, if not, then how? Are you very sure that he's doing things rightly? You never know what goes into your wall, right? If you're not there to see it. Correct. So, I mean, these are things that sometimes I believe people worry about when you do renovations and all that. Right, so think about it this way. The Lord has entrusted the work to us. We are given the privilege to be builders as part of God's building. Right, but let us be very careful also. Make sure we are very honest, right, in the things that we do. We don't play cheat with God. Right, we don't do things in a half-hearted way or, you know, do things in a worldly kind of way and then try to pass it off as if, oh, you see, this is how things are done in the Christian way. You know, we cannot bluff God to put it that way. It is His building. He knows every part of it. He knows every stone, every brick, every piece of wood that goes into it. So this is God's building. We must not play a fool. So that's why Paul was trying to, in a sense, warn the church. Be very careful for how you are in God's building. He knows what you're doing. But at the same time, it is also an encouragement. Just as what we have looked at yesterday, every man. If we do our part, we do our best for the Lord. We do it in a God-glorifying way. Surely God will notice, right? Surely God will give a reward. Right? So this is something that we must take heed of. We have an individual responsibility and accountability to the owner of the building, that is God Himself. Right? So let us all be faithful builders in God's building. As we come to verse 11, the next point, right, this is on the foundation of Christ. Right, the foundation of Christ. Now, let's say we are all faithful builders. Right? Now, that is all good. But we must make sure also, again, that the foundation is very right. Now, we have, well, thank God that on Sunday, we just actually looked at this. We have the very simple illustration that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, right? Remember? Wise man built his house on the solid rock. Wind and waves came, the house stood. Foolish man, he built his house upon the sinking sand, right? And it's as good as no foundation, because when the wind and waves came, the house fell down. Is the problem with the winds and the waves? No. Is the problem with the house? No. The problem was with the foundation, right? And the foundation must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Very similar idea down here in verse 11. Right? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We cannot substitute the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. We cannot do that. Not just the church as a whole, right? But for every ministry in the church, for every family, and for every individual. The Lord Jesus Christ must be in every part of the church. Right? You cannot just take it for granted that, oh, the church is founded on Christ, it started well, we have good doctrines, we have the true gospel, then, oh, we're all okay. But at some point of time, if we are not careful, right, we can easily substitute the foundation of Christ when we start to take glory upon ourselves, when we think that the ministry relies on us. Right, this is when problems would begin. And that was exactly what was happening in the Corinthian church. They were not taking heed of how they were building in God's building, because somewhere along the way, they might have started well with the gospel of Christ when Paul preached and taught them. But along the way, their foundations seems that it was shaken, or even some have substituted the foundation of Christ and they don't know what they're building upon. Not very faithful. Think about it this way. You have a good foundation, solid foundation, good foundation. But if you build up wrongly, you have a bad building. It's not good, right? You cannot just tell people, oh, you see, the foundations are very good, very strong, but the building is not so good. But never mind, you know, right? As long as the foundation is good, building not so good, it's still okay. You can still stay inside. I mean, you still wouldn't want to stay inside. It's bad. Good foundation, bad building, not good. Now, turn it the other way around. You have a bad foundation. Not so good. Never pile in very deep. Not that solid. But it's okay. You know, it's a very nice, very beautiful, very good building. It's okay. Just stay inside. All right? Foundation, not so good. But building, very good. Now, would you want to stay inside? Also, no. No matter how nice or how luxurious the building might be. Because you know the foundations are not good. It's not right. It can come down at any point of time. So that is bad also. Right? So both scenarios are just as bad. You need both the foundation and the building to be both good. Right? So think about our case in the church. Right? We might have the good gospel, good doctrines, good word of God, good foundations. We believe in the gospel, right? And we know who Christ is. Now, good. But when we continue on as we serve Him, this is where we must continue well also. So if we have a good start, we must carry on well also. If we are not very sure about our foundation, right, as mentioned on Sunday, right, especially for young people, or even those who have been in church for a while, check ourselves, make sure that we really know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It'll be very sad, right, one day if we are found in heaven, and then we realize, hey, how come this fellow church member is not here? Then, oh, painful, isn't it? Right? As Lord Jesus Christ has mentioned also, many will say, Lord, Lord, I've done all these things in Thy name. But Jesus will say, I never knew you. So don't let this case happen in the church. Make sure that every single one of us will be found together. Right? We are strangers and pilgrims. Really make sure we are strangers and pilgrims going to the same destination. Right? All of us, as young people and youths, make sure you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is truly. Not just in the head, all right, but in the heart. You would have listened to many messages here in camp. You go back home, right? You attend Ebenezer. You go to the church, you listen to messages, make sure you know who Christ is. Make sure we all arrive at the same destination together. I believe every single one of us here want that. Right, so make sure the foundation is right on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very simple fact, very simple truth. But sometimes the church can easily forget that when they focus so much on the building, they forget about the foundation that is on Jesus Christ. And there can be no substitution for it. Now, as we go down to verse 12 to verse 15, this is where the heavenly test will come in. Right? The heavenly test. Now, in verse 12, now, if any man build upon this foundation, now, notice that there are two sets of materials. First one, these are good materials. Gold, silver, precious stones. These are materials that are good, precious, durable, and, well, in this case, inflammable, right? Cannot catch fire. So gold, silver, precious stones. Then you compare this to the next set of materials, which is not good. Wood, hay, stubble, flimsy things that can easily be burned up. Right? So these are two sets of materials presented here in the illustration. And when you come down to verse 13, you see the same phrase again. Every man's work, right? Every single one of us, every man's work shall be made manifest. Right, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Right, of course, the fire down here, do not think that it is literal kind of fire. God is not going to put a fire down there, then all our works will be put into it. I don't think it's literal in that sense. Right, but this is, remember, a simple illustration to show. There are things that are done that will last, right? Right, very soon this life will pass, only what's done for Christ shall last. Right? Sometimes we hear this phrase here and there. So let us remind ourselves that whatever we do must be done for Christ. And if it is really done for Christ, it will stand the test. And again, take note, individual responsibility. Right, every man's work. And this is twice emphasized in this verse. Right, every man's work shall be made manifest. At the end of the verse, right, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The verse begins and ends with this emphasis, every man. Right, we can all serve in the same ministry together. We can all sing in the same choir. We can all teach in the same Sunday school. We can all serve in the same committee. But, you know, as we do all these things together, what are we doing it for? Why are we doing it? God will try individually. In the choir, for example, we can all sing the same hymn. We can all sing it and present it together, but inside our hearts, what we do it for, how we do it, now these are things that God will judge. He is very, very clear on what goes on in our heart, in our mind. Every man's work shall be made manifest. You know, in a Christian ministry, you cannot tompang people. Okay? You cannot ride along, oh, just because this is a good church, this is a vibrant ministry, wow, I want to be part of it, so that, you know, when God rewards, right, I also can get a share of it. This is not the idea of investing in something, in a good company, and then, wow, when a company does well, I get some reward. It does not work this way in God's kingdom. Right? You can go and tompang along with people. Oh, good church, good pastor, good doctrines, good everything. As long as I'm here, I have some reward, you see, because good church. This is the very wrong kind of thinking, right, that the world would have. But for us, no. Right, you might be in the best church on this earth, right? But still, if we do not really do things for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do not serve Him well, right, then no reward. Right, so this is a reminder to all of us, right? Every man's work shall be made manifest. Imagine all the things that we have done in this life will be made manifest before God. Nothing is hidden. So all the things that we have done, every work, great and small. I'm sure that in life we have many regrets. During my years as a youth, right, as I served the Lord in the YF, I think many of these things that are done are not done out of the right motives. As a young, immature Christian, many a times I serve, right, just for our pride, just to show people how good I am. Right, sometimes I serve in comparison, just want to be better than other people. Sometimes we serve with the wrong motives, just to show certain people. Right, these are things that sometimes we failed a lot in. Right, and all these things that are done, people might say, oh, praise the Lord, you know, you served the Lord very well in the YF or whatever. But see, these are just men's praises, what they see on the outside. But inside, I know, I wasted years in the YF. Some of the things that are done are not right. Right? If I had done things better, things would have, you know, maybe have turned out differently. Who knows, right? But anyway, these are regrets that we carry in life. It's too late to turn time back. But from now onwards, right, as we are made aware of this, let us make sure that whatever we do, when we return back to Singapore, we will continue on in the ministries, right? Choir will continue to practice some songs. Those who are ushering, those who are teaching, will just continue. We'll continue doing what has been laid down for us, right? What God has called us to do. But let us make very sure that all this works from now on, what we do, let us be very mindful that it is made manifest before God. Let us do it for His glory, so that when the day comes, all right, of course, not exactly very sure when this day will be, but I believe it will be the Bema's throne judgment, where God will judge all works, and it's not a throne of judgment to destruction, right, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, because of time, not turn there, but this will be a time when God will reward. Right, so in this day of reward, will we really receive a reward for all things that we have done? Imagine we have done so many things for Christ in this life, but then when we go to heaven, oh, God says, it's just a reward, very little. We feel so shameful. Then compared perhaps to a young Christian who has not known Christ for very long, but a person does everything very sincerely, right, for the love of God, for the glory of God, and might have done very little in comparison. And do not be surprised if that person's reward might be huge, right, in the sight of the Lord. So we must be very careful. Do not measure it in a worldly sense. We're not here to build a portfolio. We're not here to build your CV or something. But let us make very sure that all our works, great or small, are right before the Lord. And when it is tested by the Lord, right, when it is tested, it will show forth what sort it is. God's test is very sure. It will not fail. He knows exactly what we have done, and He will be the best judge of it. Right? That's why only God can tell us, isn't it? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because He's the master. He will see how we work, how we function in God's building, how we build. He will take note. He observes everything. We cannot play cheat with Him. Right? So He knows. So let us make sure that in all aspects of our life, everything that we do, right? Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, even in a full-time ministry, we prepare messages, and sometimes it just becomes routine. Sometimes in a week, we have 4 or 5 engagements, right? We have chapel, we have this and that, we have so many classes, and danger is that it can become routine. Right? And same thing, right? It might not be in a full-time ministry, but whatever you do in life, right, go to the office, you go through a routine again. Start to work, must do this, must do that, must email this, must report this, write this, do that, go for that meeting. And the danger is sometimes that we just follow through in the routine. Are we very aware that all these things must be done for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, easy to say. But when we start the routine, no matter where we are, whether it's even in the house, right? Wake up, there's a certain routine. As homemakers, we have to do also. Right? So all these things, we must be very aware. All things done for Christ. Right? The danger sometimes, not wrong to have a routine, okay? Routines are normal. Everybody has it. But why we do it, how we do it, if we are not careful, all these things are just, in a sense, wasted. Right? Not done for Christ. So verse 14, if any man's work abide, which ye have built thereupon, ye shall receive a reward. Very similar to verse 8 before. Do things for Christ. Jesus is very fair. Okay? Jesus is very fair. He will always reward accordingly. He will not fail to do so. Right? So, let us make sure that whatever works we do, they abide. They are really done for Christ, and they will, in a sense, have this lasting effect, right? And there will be a reward for it. Verse 15. Now, this is the worst case scenario, and we end with this. Let us not fall into this trap. It will be very sad. If any man's work shall be burned, right, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be safe, yet so as by fire. Now, what this simply means is that there will be a case when some Christians will enter into heaven just as it is, just in a sense by the skin of the teeth, right, as their expression would go. That means all you have is when you stand before God, the only thing you have is salvation from the Lord. That's it. Anything else done in this life, just wasted. Why? Wrong motives, wrong reasons, wrong ways. And then, that's it. Nothing much to show before the Lord. And as a hymn would go, right? Must I go an empty-handed, in that sense. Right? Everything done for self, done for the last of the world. But just having salvation, just getting to heaven with salvation alone. And then, with nothing to show. Right? So, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. Right, so this applies to Christians. So will we stand before God with nothing much to show? Just only with salvation saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But after that, we go and build wrongly. Right? We build wrongly and then we stand before God very shameful. We might have so-called served the Lord for many years, but we realize that, hey, all those things are wasted. Done for self, done for pride, done for lust, whatever it might be. So let us not fall into this worst-case scenario. Right, so let us take heed. Right, as a church together, right, so as we serve the Lord together, let us make very sure that whatever we do in this life, as part of God's building, let us be faithful builders, right, doing things that will stand the test of God Himself. Right, one day when we stand before God together in heaven, He will test all our works, and then we will know. God will give to us this report card. What have we truly done for Him? Let us not be very ashamed in that time. But let us make sure that everything will count for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we really give all glory unto Him. Right? And rest be assured, God will reward whatever it might be. Right? He will bless. Right? And let us make sure that we will build rightly, faithfully, as part of God's people together in God's church. Let us pray. Our Father and our Lord, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful mercy and grace that has called us unto salvation. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, our great shepherd. And O Lord, we pray that we will learn to daily hear Thy voice and daily learn how to follow Thee, simply. And even as we engage in many parts of the work on this earth, O Lord, there are many ministries, many areas that we can serve in. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times when we have not been very careful of how we serve Thee. We confess that at times we just do things without thinking. At times we do it even for self and for pride. At times we even do it out of spite and out of the wrong reasons. So Lord, help us truly to often check our motives daily in what we do for Thee. And help us, O Lord, to do all things truly for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us. And help us, O Lord, to be a good testimony unto all those around us. And help us, O Lord, as Tabernacle BP Church together, to be able to serve Thee truly all the days that we have on this earth as Thy people. So bless us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray.